three sides, true as a bowl, rimmed by farms, scooped out as if by a grabbing fist, rounded by the flowing waters of her three rivers, plunged into south, north and west by hand-cut roads, and in from the east, day after day, running the gauntlet of crooping curlews, swilling about the razor-red legs of herons, so still, sweeping back and forth across the shining mud, rides in, rides out, the poking, searching tide, delving into the tips of delta claws, swelling and shrinking under foot-smooth streets.
That's Truro poet Bert Biscoe giving his view of the city set in a bowl between hills and with three rivers meeting at its centre. It's Cornwall's only city and its administrative hub. Now, for people who live here, it provides business and leisure, but for visitors, it's got many hidden gems.
Well, it's a very interesting city. There's plenty of shops.
Big fan of the cathedral.
Well, what do you like about the cathedral?
The architecture. I love the fact it's pinnacle. It's like a nice centre point to the town.
Nice people live here, it's friendly.
The cathedral, yeah, it's very good, very impressive.
It's nice and clean, there's lots to do, it's interesting.
Now we'll be taking a walk from the car parks next to Tesco and under the road at the underpass and emerging on the piazza.
Three rivers, they English would have called them, if we hadn't have been here to say it proper. But we was here, gossiping and trading, doing a bit of fishing, assaying a bit of tin, carding fleeces and weaving carpet. Way before the time when they, on fine horses, come sightseeing and laying down the law. And Truro it is, a close town by a worldly port.
Well, obviously the main part of Truro that dominates it is the cathedral, but also in the centre of Truro is a large piazza area. It's called Lemon Quay, and around it you've got shops like Marks & Spencer, you've got Truro Fabrics, you've got Desire of Debenhams, and you've got also, apart from the Pannier Market, which is a must to look around, all the little stalls and small shops in there, you've also got the Hall for Cornwall, which is Cornwall's main performance venue. This piazza is used for craft markets and open-air events these days, and at Christmas it hosts the City of Lights Parade. But in the past, it was a bustling quay with ships loading and unloading cargo. It's now been covered over, but just opposite Marks & Spencer's, you can see just a small part of what the quay used to be, where the Compton Castle paddle steamer is moored. Now, this old boat used to be a ferry on the River Dart in Devon, and for many years it was moored at Kingsbridge. Now in Truro, it's used as retail space. Now walk over to the Pannier Market on the other side of the piazza, browse the stalls there and emerge from the far end of it, taking you out into Prince's Street. Turn left into Boscawen Street and cross over towards the cathedral. Now, the Victorian building behind the war memorial, as you cross over Boscawen Street, was built on the site of a 14th century coinage hall. That's the place where tin was assayed or tested before being exported. Now, as we walk down Cathedral Lane towards that impressively dominating triple tower cathedral, at the end of it, turn left, where you will find an area in front of the cathedral called High Cross.
"'Tis in a bowl, beneath the frost, and in the morning, looking down from Kenwyn or Tregurra, with thick mist resting like suds on steamy water, and they three Sputnik spires upwards pointing, tickling the chins of fleeing clouds, he'd a look for all the Cornish boys round the world like nothing less than the washing up in a very Georgian sink, till the sucking sun to lift the dew and the river's breeze push up the mists."
Oh, Well, we're standing right in front of Truro Cathedral now. This is right in the centre of the city, and we've got High Cross just behind us. And with me from the cathedral is Colin Reed. Just tell me a bit about the frontage of the cathedral, first of all.
Well, it's a magnificent front to the cathedral. It really dominates the entrance to the cathedral. And the two towers on the front are kind of complemented by the big central tower. And so the cathedral has three massive towers. And that's the kind of key to the building, is the look of the west front and how the three towers kind of interact.
And the doorway is quite ornate, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the style is Gothic Revival. And so if you were to bring somebody here and stand them in front of the building, they would say, gosh, that looks Gothic, that looks hundreds and hundreds of years old. But in fact, it's not, it's Victorian. In Saxon times, there was a cathedral up at St. Germans, up near Plymouth. But as the years went on, the running of the diocese went to Exeter. And it wasn't until the beginning of the 19th century that the Cornish people said, hang on a minute, we don't see a lot of this bishop. We ought to have our own diocese again. And so there was a big petition that went up to London. It took about 50 years. But in 1878, then the Diocese of Truro was formed. And in 1880, the foundation stones were laid for this cathedral.
So coming to Truro, you can't miss the cathedral, can you?
You certainly can't, and it doesn't matter whether you come by train or by bus or by car, or if you're walking or if you're coming on the river, you will see the cathedral in the distance. And it's on a summer's morning, there is nothing more beautiful.
On leaving the cathedral, make your way past the ancient Celtic cross. This was unearthed in a development project. And now turn left down King Street, back into Boscawen Street. This time, turn right along St. Nicholas Street, and as you see Rose Pasty Shop in front of you, turn right along River Street. A little way along, you will find the Royal Cornwall Museum. It's well worth taking a look there. And among the artefacts worth seeing are Bronze Age finds dug up in the duchy, as well as the world's first ever passenger railway carriage.
Then, and only after a chorus of crows and gulls have skittled the nightly silence aside, out rings the old town clock. Bong, bong, bong. Seven times and a quarter, till curtains part in windows like the Red Sea, and eyes to look up, struck as at the crack of Moses' staff upon the sets of Front Street.
Continue along River Street into Francis Street. Now, one thing that any visitor to Truro will notice is the rows of Georgian-style houses. Now, we're up at one end of the city now, where I can see the viaduct. I'm actually in St. George's Road. And right next to me here is the cheese shop. And it's full of very special produce from Cornwall, not just cheeses. There's jams, chutneys, vinegars, all special produce made in Cornwall. And behind the counter here, just tell me your name.
It's Fiona Freeman.
And just tell me about the whole idea behind this business.
Well, it's, as you've obviously said, it is a specialist shop. It isn't actually just Cornish cheeses. At any one time, we'll have about 60 cheeses in, from local, national, international as well. But the idea being is that we have a cellar. We're very, very fortunate to have a cellar, which is why physically we're in this particular premises. And so we can store and mature our cheeses as they should be stored.
But what is it with Cornwall that's developed this fascination with cheeses? We've got lots of brilliant cheeses, haven't we?
I think the climate in Cornwall is such that the mould and that's needed for the development of rinds on cheeses and the beautiful pastures that we have for our cattle and the sheep and the goats makes it an ideal climate for producing lovely cheese.
Thank you very much, and it smells beautiful in here.
Thank you very much.
In If you now walk along St George's Road and carry right along to the end, you'll come to one of Truro's quieter spots. Well, one of the hidden gems of Truro, if you care to walk out from the centre of this city, is a lovely house surrounded by gardens and birds singing. The place is Bosvigo Gardens. And can you just tell me your name and your place with this garden?
My name's Wendy Perry. I've lived here 40 years and developed the garden around the house very slowly, as time and money allowed.
So just tell me a bit about the house, first of all.
There's been a house on the site since 1100, but the one you see now is basically Regency with the Gothic windows, very pretty house.
And it's got plants growing over the walls, making it look very picturesque as well.
Yes, the English passion for putting trees against the house. It's got Magnolia della Vea against the house, and wisteria, wonderful white wisteria, which drops, you know, in great long loops of sort of 1.5 feet. Very spectacular when it's in flower.
Now, a bit about the gardens. What would you say is the character of these gardens?
Well, it's not a typical Cornish garden. Shrubs do not rule here. It's a herbaceous garden, and so I'm in full colour all through June, July, August and September, when you want to be out in the garden. Although there is a spring garden as well, with hellebores and epimediums. All through the summer I have colour.
And what is your favourite part of the garden?
I think my hot garden, with all the clashing of vulgar colours, which will blow your socks off in August and September. There's nothing restrained at all about it. It's like a firework display. That's my favourite, I think.
Under the town clock, as her seventh echo does settle, like silks into a breeze-stirred pile, grey wigs and dark robes fall on heads and shoulders as the ghosts of clerks and magistrates and the spirits of 500,000 mayors drift in infinite dance amongst the shadows. And down in the bowl, at the ford of 5 bridges, in the haven of Triu and Moresque, the old body of Truro incarnate to rise up again like Lazarus, like Spring herself, for to be ready, prepared as a scout for everyday business in the everyday way.
This is now the end of our walk through several facets of Truro's life, but don't believe this is all the city has to offer. Check Visit Cornwall's website as well as enjoytruro.co.uk for more Cornish gems.